Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs. Plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect One. I'm your host, Chris Welsh, who you can find on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. Same on the Instagram and over at InThisLeague.com. That's where the top 500 prospect list lives. My dynasty ranks, first-year player, prospect ADP information, and more. Go to InThisLeague.com today, sign up, get access to the ranks, the updates that I drop, all the prospect stuff, dynasty stuff. We've got GroupMe rooms with prospect rooms. We do card stuff. Have access to me and the community and more. InThisLeague.com. I appreciate your guys' support when you do so. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Prospect One. I'm glad to have you guys here. Got a great episode for you today. One that I won't delete because I had an episode for you. Recorded in whole, lost the whole thing. Yep, and then there's only one thing you can do, by the way, after you record an episode and then you lose it, is contemplate never doing the podcast again and thinking about re-recording it, but not. Yeah, so that's what happened. I guess it was a week ago or so, but I got a makeup for everybody. I had recorded an episode. I don't even know if it's worth talking about the topic, but the idea was rank update conversations, and not only was it about mine, but it was actually taking a look at some of the non-fantasy ones that had dropped, taking a look at some of the interesting ranks from Keith Law, from Baseball America that had dropped, from their non-fantasy list, and from MLB Pipeline, taking a look at their top 100, and just the things that really stood out. So some standout ones, while also trying not to monopolize behind paywall stuff, and my own. Recorded the entire episode. I was like, okay, cool, we're going to come back to edit it. And then I must have just thought I saved it. Why did I not save it? So then I had to shut down and restart a computer. And I'm like, oh, no worries. Shut down my Adobe Audition, which had the episode on it, and restarted the computer. And I'm like, oh, I'll work on that prospect episode over here on my other computer. And it's gone. So that was sad. It was very sad. How am I going to make it up to you? Well, I'm going to drop 2 episodes this week. And joining me on the episode today is Jeff Ponce from Baseball America. This is our starting pitcher prospect series, prospects that you love, starting pitcher edition. So we're going to be talking about really kind of all the big starting pitchers for the most part that are inside the top 100, some of Jeff's take on them. And then we're going to go outside the top 100, some other interesting names. You guys that eat and consume prospects, you're going to know a lot of these. There's some deeper sleepers we're going to talk about as well. For people just trying to really wrap their heads around the names, these are the guys, plus maybe some that you're not even like really, really familiar with. You know, like we get to like Jared Jones, and I think most people are, you know, familiar with. But, you know, if you're still trying to scour Dynasty and you don't go crazy into prospects, maybe you're not familiar with where Jared Jones is going to be at. Positives, negatives, we're going to go through that. So like I said, most of the top 100 prospects and pushing out a little bit in part one. Because it's a two-part series, because Jeff and I ended up recording, I mean, we recorded for like over an hour and a half. And then, as we say on here, we talked for like an hour before, and then we talked some after. Me and Jeff just chat a lot. So this episode is broken into two parts. So So this is part one of the starting pitchers you need to know, our favorite starting pitchers in the prospect world. So that's going to be the vibe for this one. And then later in the week, I will drop part two on the series. And I'm hoping to do the same thing with the hitting series because of the kind of infrequentness and all the craziness that's been going on. Get you some of these fun guys going. So thank you guys for hanging out with me as always. Camps are kind of opening. There's actually only one camp that's officially open out here in Arizona. It's the Dodgers. I went day one. It was something else. There were 50 to 75 Japanese reporters, just Japanese reporters there to cover Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I actually thought Ohtani might have been there that day. And I was like, oh, this is for both. It wasn't. Ohtani actually, he actually showed up the day I was there, but he didn't report. I think he reported like the next day or yesterday or whatever. I can only imagine what that was looking like, but it was wild. There's a YouTuber named Mini Darvish, because he actually looks just like Darvish, just Mini, you get it? I saw him a couple years ago here in spring training at a Rangers game when Darvish was with the Rangers, and I hadn't seen him since, and he was there doing his YouTube. He's got his GoPro and everything, but he's now re-transformed into Mini Tani. So that was an interesting development. It was a madhouse. As madhouse as Dodgers is, but on opening day, it was like 40 degrees or something. Cold and wet. Not everybody was there, but I pushed through. Everybody else pushed through. Got to see Tyler Glasnow. Got to see pretty much everybody. James Paxton, what a nice guy, by the way. Except most of the hitters weren't there. Like Gavin Lux was there. I got a picture with Dave Roberts I'll put up probably on the Instagram. And I got to see a few of the minor leaguers as well, the hitting side. All the pitchers were essentially there. Seeing Gavin Stone throw a session. I think he threw a session. Kyle Hurt definitely did. We saw a bunch of those guys, like I said, Glasnow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and then the few hitters that were there besides Lux, Jason Hayward, James Outman, a couple of the, there was like minor leaguers and like lower guys like Miguel Vargas was there, but you also like saw Jose Ramos and Andy Pejas, who looks phenomenal. I mean, that guy's body transformation is one of the most dramatic I've seen of any singular player. He is skinny now. And if you remember Andy Pejas from the AFL a couple years ago, I'm kind of a big boy. He is skinny this go round. But Yamamoto, there wasn't a ton happening with him outside of literal hordes. Like you could tell he was coming by the absolute running of photographers and media. I mean,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, I like you. I like you so much, I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold, and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect One.
Who are Jeff's favorite prospect pitchers? Mine, Jeff's, we're doing that. Yes, we're talking pitching prospects. with a little bit of skew of what you guys might think into this episode, all dedicated to pitching. And Jeff Ponce from Baseball America, one of my favorite people, is on. And Jeff, truth or false, we just spent literally a full hour talking, catching up before we even recorded this podcast.
Yeah, we actually talked for, I think, exactly 60 minutes.
Exactly 60 minutes we did. Exactly. We could have done an entire podcast, but we could not do that there. Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Ponce, G-E-O-F-F, Ponce, B-A. Make sure to follow. I've told him this many times since he's been over there. I actually always feel blessed to, I have this memory, I told it on the show a couple shows ago or whatever, that like I got to hang with you while you were in your middle ground between you just got hired at Baseball America and you were just leaving Prospects Live. You were in the AFL and it was right in that middle ground. I was right there and we spent some time. And actually, you know what it was? I was telling the story about how you and I were talking. It's one of my favorite stories because it's so stupid. I don't know if you found it as funny as I did. We were sitting in Surprise and we were talking about blah, 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 blah. And Gabriel Moreno became our topic of discussion. I was talking about how much I love him as a hitter. And you were talking about how some scouts are. And this one scout was sitting in front of us and he just turned around and he's like, you can't frame for bleep. And that's all he said. And then he just like didn't talk anymore. And you were kind of talking, but he just moved away. And I don't know if you remember it like that, how I do like that. It was just such a funny moment.
Yeah. And then he goes and like has one of the best defensive seasons by a rookie.
It's amazing.
All that stuff. Yeah. I had seen so much Moreno at that point too, but that's the thing. Like everybody has a variety of opinions to see a guy on the wrong day. And I had seen, Moreno in the regular season having to deal with, here's a blast from the past, Simeon Woods Richardson, who threw five different pitches, could never find the strike zone. Everything was low in the zone. This guy bounced a ton of breaking balls the day that I saw him. And it was against a really good Somerset Yankees lineup that had, you know, you guys that are now in the big leagues. And I remember Moreno was just like, these were like pitches he should have had to work for and was just getting down and knee blocking them, scooping them up, keeping everything in the zone, stealing a couple of strikes. And it was like, and it was just the fluidity of movement behind the plate is always the thing that sticks out to me. I'm not a catcher expert. No one's going to pay me to go out and scout catchers, but that's the thing that always sticks to me is how well guys, the comfort in the crouch. That's the big thing is how comfortable you are in that position, how well you move in that position. And Moreno was a guy that stuck out for me, like on both sides of the ball, that was like, this guy's going to be a no doubt everyday catcher and one that a team will build around. And he made the World Series in his first year.
So he kind of made it pretty good. He did a pretty good job, but that always stands out to me. So we've got a long history. You know, fun fact, by the way, of Simeon Woods Richardson was, I was at the Dream Series years and years and years ago, and I did my first on-air Prospect One interview, and those two interviews were at that series with Junior Spivey and then Kumar Rocker. While I'm waiting for, actually, you know what? I had just gotten done with a Kumar Rocker interview, and I'm standing over on a corner with one of your coworkers, Bill Mitchell, who works out here. Me and Bill are standing there talking to the head of the Dream Series, and Simeon Woods Richardson at that time was like a two-way player. He also hit. And he on the offensive side, and he was in the batting cage and we were standing on field and he hit one that went out of the covering of the batting of on field of the, you know, the batting cover. It came up, it went right at us. They moved. I tried to catch it and it absolutely like semi broke my finger. So it was 100% trying to be a dummy and catch Simeon Woods. So that's my history. Simeon Woods Richardson probably broke some catcher fingers with them trying to catch up with the ball, but mine was off of his bat. So I know no one cared about that story, but that was mine. But Jeff is one of my, just good. You know, I want to say like, we're not best friends because we don't live near each other, see each other a lot, but he's just like one of my favorite people to talk to online. And I said this to you also off air a couple times, like Baseball America is an institution and it's hard to make institutions better. And you have done that. And that is not something that everybody can do. You have done that tenfold, my friend. So great job on that. And that's why everybody should be supporting you and Baseball America with your guys' brand new pretty looking site.
Yeah, things have been running well. We got lots of content up there. Certainly have been, you know, way ahead on fantasy content for the first time in the history of the site. We didn't hire Dylan last year until February, so we're a little bit behind. This year, we were able to ramp out our position ranks and then build up to the top 700, which we released last week, and we actually have already done a couple of updates on it because we plan to update in real time on that list. As moves happen and value changes. So we have a, you know, Dylan is great to work with because he's very organized, and he makes me more organized. So we're able to
put things together
and processes that work.
I also love having you there too, because you can be my middleman to scream at people to come on my show for that I can't get a hold of, and scream at Dylan. I want Dylan. I think I might've had Dylan on once. I need you to get in his ear. I'd like to have him. So if he's not on in the next 2 months, everyone know that's Jeff's fault. So I just want everybody to know. Okay. So we're going to be talking about pitching prospects. This is a grand scope. I'm not, what we're not going to do when we're talking about this big subject of pitcher ranks. I'm also not doing like, here's pitching prospect ranks 1 through 10. We're going to talk about it as a whole. And instead of going like completely numerically, we're going to talk about a lot of the top 100 guys, some guys outside the top 100 and deeper sleepers. One of the things you guys have on right now is you've got your top 100 fantasy prospect list that everybody can go and check out. And I was kind of perusing that to help with some names and some of the differences you guys have. But we had this in our hour long conversation. We had this interesting conversation where you started to unveil some of the process. So let's not go long on it, but I think it'd be my kind of interesting. I don't know how much you guys talk about it or anyone talks about it, but you were talking to me about the process of like how the ranks become how they are, the open debate forum, the submissions, people covering different ones. So maybe just give like a little scope of like, you don't even have to focus necessarily on pitching, but give us a scope of like how you guys approach these ranks.
Yeah. And I think that we're really collaborative with our rankings on the prospect side. And then, you know, obviously Dylan and I, it's a smaller team, but you know, on the fantasy side as well. And we take some input from, you know, some of the prospect experts, like on the FYPD, we do loop in Carlos, and we obviously loop in Ben Badler, and he's a good feel for not only the international players, but also domestically, because he covers the amateur players domestically. So he knows a lot of those guys and goes back 2 or 3 years and has like a good sort of barometer of like what this guy was like at 16 versus the 16-year-old Dominican signee. So that's obviously really helpful. But yeah, I mean, like we put together our lists, grade them out, start with the top 10s in the off season for the handbook. And then with like each division, we have meetings where we go through the rankings. We go through who we think is overgraded or maybe overranked or underranked, or why isn't this guy ranked, and just ask some questions and try to figure all that stuff out. Obviously there's some differences on staff, of course, from player to player. That's always going to happen. And there's some healthy debate there. And I think we find a nice middle ground. We try to apply that approach to the fantasy stuff too. The way Dylan and I sort of did it was we built out our position ranks position by position, and then sort of built out from there and expanded. Once we put everything together, it was a certain number of players. We had some hangover. I think what we actually ranked was probably about 1,100 players, and then felt really good about the top 700. And then since we've released the rankings, we just have an ongoing tab where we're tracking news. So the Burns trade happens a couple of days after we release, and we're like, hey, put in a note with a date and then just a little comment of, hey, should we move up DL Hall? Should we move up Joey Ortiz? Does this impact Burns's value at all? And then we'll do the same with maybe names that people are like, hey, why is this guy ranked? Or I think you should be ranking this guy over these guys or whatever. And we'll put those names in there, and it gives us an opportunity.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Opportunity to, as things are happening, kind of record it, but also talk through changes. And if we kind of agree on something, then we'll talk about, hey, where do we think this guy should rank? Where do we miss the mark? I think, you know, I read a book, Super Forecasting, and one of the things that it really makes, hammers home and makes a point of is...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh!
The more that you update something, the more accurate it gets. Like, you get better at forecasting the more information inputs that you put into it. So
yeah,
can you this offseason, like, we don't know when guys are signing, and it's, you know, February 8th, so
yeah, which is absurd. Can you recall on whatever degree you want to do it, but can you recall, like, the last big arguable player? Just a player that comes to mind that was like, maybe one person had them high, or half the, you know, you guys were completely split. Like, you can have like the easier ones where you kind of manage it. But like, what was like the last guy that was like a big, big one around the office?
Sure. Like, with fantasy, I tend to think that Dylan and I are really good at compromising, and we respect each other so much that when I'm like, hey, I think like we underrated Kevin Alcantara and Lazaro Montes, he's kind of like, yeah, I probably should have been higher on Montes, like, or whatever. Or like, hey, we didn't have him in the outfield rankings, we missed him there. And
like, did you puff your chest when you did that? Are you threatening him?
No. And then it's like, should we, you know, should we move him on, and where should we move him on to? Okay. Like, I think like he compares nicely with these guys. And then we just update it. Like, even all the positional ranks, I went through yesterday, February 7th, and I updated everything. So it's now in order with the 700. If we did, because there is points during the process where I think anybody that makes rankings will say, like, there's a bunch of rankings in there that, like, you can go back 3 days later and go, why did I rank this guy above this?
1,000%.
It never stops happening. So it allows us to adjust that. And like, I can go on and update the list instantaneously, and then it shows up on the site. So
great thing for people to keep in their minds too, when you consume those lists, is most of us are the same in that respect, where you can work your ass off for however long working on a list. You can publish it. You can walk away for 2 days and come back and be like, am I stupid? What is this? Like it happened. That's why I'm a constant tinkerer. Everyone's a tinkerer. And it's sometimes, especially when you're dealing with 300, 400, 500 players, you can be hyper-focused in certain areas. And that happens to me. I can be hyper-focused on the bottom of my list, the top of my list. I mean, it is what happens. And there's really never a happy point.
And there's balance. I think the thing that's good about Dylan and I is that we strike a good balance with the type of players that we like.
Yeah.
I look at data. I would say I'm more interested in underlying data, athleticism, trying to track some of those traditional scouting ideals back to a tangible number that we can trust, right? Where I think a lot of Dylan's approach is very much like an analyst, like a model-driven team, where he's looking at certain characteristics, how that measures against the age group, how that measures against the age group in that level, and then historically, and looking at all that. And then is able to, you know, maybe balance guys who have better hit tools and plate skills versus me where I'm going after guys that maybe have the big EVs and maybe walk a lot or have contact and power, but maybe not all three. Usually if they have all three, we're going to agree on that one typically.
Yeah. Okay. And then, I like it.
Like defensive ability, speed. I'm big on the power speed guys. Yeah, I think that like we strike a nice accord because certain guys that he's a lot higher on, I'm a lot lower on, and vice versa. So we kind of find that middle ground that I think, you know, is reasonable.
Yeah, the aggregation is important. All right, so let's talk about it. Your focus today is pitching. I consider you a master pitching expert. I didn't know where, like, there's a lot of different words you could go with here, but like almost savanty that you kind of have with it. Like you just have a really good feel for it, and perfect person to talk through this. So we're going to talk about we're going to start in the 100 range, and we're going to get your take on this because Paul Skenes is where we're going to jump. He is not your guys' number one pitching prospect. He is not your number two pitching prospect. And I think that probably in your comment, I didn't look actually, I could imagine that would jump some people up in the comment section. So give us, we're just going to take, you know, your thoughts and opinions as we round about some of these things. Is the reason he's not at the tippy top still about the fastball shape? Let's talk about Paul Skenes.
I think to an extent, it could factor into it. I don't think that I'm not panicking about Paul Skenes fastball shape either, you know. So there's enough velocity there. I think that the slider is enough of a plus pitch, maybe double plus, that ultimately like it carries it and it's not much of an issue. I also think his changeup is pretty good.
I always go to with Skenes. Just talk about his changeup looks so disgusting at the end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just didn't have to throw it very frequently in college. Even in the SEC, you know, he just wasn't challenged like that frequently. So I think that's, you know, all the positives. And, you know, I certainly think that you look at Skenes and there's a big body for a starter. There is not a concerning health history with him or track record of injuries. And there's a ton of pitchability. I think he was under Wes Johnson's tutelage, and based on the guy that I saw last year versus the player that I saw in the Cape when he was with Air Force as a freshman, a lot of cleanup, very direct in terms of his motion now to the plate. He repeats pretty well, and he's a pretty good athlete for, you know, a bigger pitcher. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff to like in terms of how we have the pitchers ranked out. We have Shane Baz as our number one pitching prospect right now.
Save number two because we're going to go to number two. So don't say number two yet.
Okay. And some of this is the set it and forget it nature. Dylan is very high. Dylan had Baz within the top 100, like a total dynasty ranking, like MLB players included. We saw it before he went down with the injury. This guy was headed for the head of that rotation, it seemed. And when you look at his pitch mix, what was pre-injury, what the shape of the fastball looked like, what the shape of the slider looked like, what his changeup was like, he really was a great comparison for Gerrit Cole. There's so much stuff that he does innately that Cole also does innately, the release height, all that sort of thing. Mikey Aieto, who does some stuff over at BP, wrote an article about it, I think at Baseball Prospectus, right after Baz got called up and kind of called out the characteristics. And I love Mikey, he does a great job with all this work. And like, it was one of those things where it was like, oh, wow, yeah. And you go and look at it and you're like, yeah, it's really similar. So I think there's a frontline starter potentially there. It may not be this year, but I think next year, it's just, I think some of it is easy money. And there's definitely a little proximity slant to the list where if you're going to
contribute years,
you know, it's valuable.
I see that. The Skenes thing is just interesting. Last little bit on this, because I set up this next guy who was number two on your list, and he was a point of conversation. The Skenes thing is interesting, though, because if we revert it back to what you were talking about with hitting, and you know, it's like big power, big speed, those are the type you want to go with, versus, you know, an analytical approach might just be like lower strikeouts, higher walks, good contact rates, you know, guys that even if they lack some, kind of like an Evan Carter, even if they lack like big, crazy counting stats, like there's just a decent baseline. I feel like the Skeens conversation sometimes misses the hitting, the way we approach hitting dynasty, where like, I know that there, maybe there's some concerns with Skeens, but you know, he's also proved to be able to eat innings, go deep. He's got three pitches. He's got in, I think these are not great examples, like with Hunter Green and Michael Kopech that at times had these really big fastballs. You know, when you have like a high end velocity fastball, you can still get away with stuff, even if there's shape issues, especially when you've got two other really good strikeout pitchers. I guess I feel like some of the narrative around Paul Skeens in that hyper-focus maybe misses the fantasy upside. Does that make sense how I'm doing that? Or am I just kind of convoluting? Cause I feel like it's like, I feel like that's skewing a little bit too far in, like we are treating prospect pitchers more like real life. And then the dynasty prospect hitters for fantasy get treated with a wider net because of the tools. So I don't know if any of that made sense.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's easier. It's a lot easier to predict success with hitters out of the draft or out of the minors than it is with pitchers. And I even think when you look from year to year at the major league level and you go and you look at the accuracy of projections, projections are very accurate with hitters. They are not with pitchers.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I think there was a conversation that was had, I think it was maybe on Rob DiPietro and Jeff Zimmerman's pod the other day, but I think they had actually brought this up. And I think it's true. I think you have to look at skills. You got to look at what the guy's throwing, how he gets outs, like how, and the other thing is like, we'll see guys that don't have a tremendously high workload in the minors come up to the majors and just jump to a higher workload, you know? And sometimes it's like, all right, were they just taking it easy on Bobby Miller? You know, because all of a sudden this guy seems like he can just walk off the bus and throw 180 innings in the big leagues. Like, yeah. You know, and like, I didn't see that. Walker Buehler was kind of the same way, how he was handled. So sometimes I think that the performance in the minor league level can skew things more like, and make guys push up more than they should over other players where, yeah, his ERA might be a run higher, but he played in this environment. These are the lineups that he was facing. This is the defense that was behind him. There's so many other factors where it's just see pitch, hit pitch, and then we just got to worry about the effects of, you know, the batted ball and where it goes, and there's some luck component there. But the guys who barrel up and hit the ball hard in the air, man, like there's certain like archetypes, right? There's guys like a Freddie Freeman or somebody that like there's enough contact there, but you know the raw power is coming. He's never going to sell out for it. Yeah. And there's other guys that are like Gallo-esque where they walk a ton, they miss a ton, they got big power.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour. time.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
You know, there's all these different sort of types of hitters. I think it's much easier to identify by looking at the numbers, watching the hitters swing, watching a few games, and just getting a better understanding of like, okay, this is, you're much more confident when you leave the field of like, this is the type of hitter this guy is.
I do feel like Skeens is kind of an archetype though, to your point, like it's less defined. I've talked about this for last month too, in how kind of hilarious projections are at sometimes. I can give you off the top of my, you just let me see a stat sheet without the projections. I could probably tell you what the projections are going to be, because usually starting pitchers, by the way, starting pitcher projections for ERA are just equivalent to XFIP the year before. And I don't think they properly can project innings well. Wins are hilariously stupid. So really with pitchers, it kind of just becomes about like K and walk percentage is my focus if you focus on projections. Yeah. But I feel like he has an archetypal type of body and approach and pitch mix, and I lose where it could kind of fall apart. But I know what you're saying makes all the sense in the world.
I think if there the big question was the fastball shape changed significantly when he pitched in the big and pro ball. His slider shape changed when he pitched in pro ball. I don't know if he was messing around with stuff. Mm. I think that there is, to be completely honest, I think there is a lot of concern in the industry about the Pirates developing Skeens. Yeah. And him going from Wes Johnson, who was a major league pitching coach with the Twins, did a great job of implementing systems at LSU, and then going to Pittsburgh and what that transition is like. I don't know. You know, I don't cover the Pirates. I don't have a ton of insight into it. I know that they're immediately were trying to work on things. They're trying to work on fastball shape. I don't know if that was the best idea. I don't know if I would have pitched him after the draft, frankly. So I think there's some of that stuff at play. And I just think generally there's a really bad track record with top of the draft pitching recently.
Boy, is that true.
And There is a really bad track record with no doubt college starters at the top of the draft. I mean, like, dude, Casey Mize was really good in college. He wasn't all Skeens. Casey Mize was really good in college. Casey Mize was really good in the minor leagues early on. Casey Mize had an elbow injury that he didn't get Tommy John surgery for and tried to pitch through. And I think like he was never the same guy. So there's so much that can go wrong with pitching. I think it's just there's inherent risk there. I think the other thing too is like when you look at some of the guys ranked ahead, Boz has pitched in the big leagues, right? And then you look at somebody like, you know, a Ricky Tiedemann, right? Who's ranked not too far behind him. Tiedemann is similar in age and has been in Double A for 2 years, you know, up to Triple A, pitched in the fall league. There's certainly some concerns there with, you know, how many innings he's going to be able to cover long-term. I mean, his amount of innings in his career is the exact same amount of innings that Skeens threw with Louisiana State. Like, yep, like to the actual exact third of an inning, 122 and two thirds innings. That's Tiedemann's major league career, right? So take a look at, you know, the numbers for Tiedemann when you consider he's been facing professional hitters over that period, has dealt with some injuries, which we hope is now behind him. And he's left-handed, throws in a similar velocity range to Skeens, maybe a little bit softer, but the velocity we saw from Skeens in pro ball, like, I don't know if he's going to sit 99 to 100 in pro ball. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I might take Tiedemann's slider over Skeens.
So your sheet didn't, I didn't set you up properly for this, because the guy I was saving was Ricky Tiedemann, because I wanted to move Tiedemann above because, okay. Because the other guy we were talking about a second, but because your most recent update, at least I see on the site, and maybe I have it wrong, you guys have Tiedemann above Skeens.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good that you set that up, because where I was going to go with this with Tiedemann was he was one of my favorite pitching prospects in all of baseball. And it did change when I saw him in the AFL. I watched four, I think, of his five starts. I saw almost all of them.
Yeah.
Row every single time watching it. And the thing that stood out, one big thing that stood out was, and that's what's interesting what you said about the velocity. I don't at least in what I saw in a short sample size, he could not maintain velocity. Every time it went over 94, it was all over the place. He would ratchet it down and he would sit 92, 93, and then he commanded it. It's one of the best changeups I'd ever seen.
Really?
And the slider, I got all the video of it. Every time it was over 90.
I asked Norris about that one too. And Norris was like, dude, he was 95, 96 the whole time I saw him.
Unless the guns in the stadium were wrong and he had his own gun or something like that.
I don't trust stadium guns. That's why I have a radar gun. So I've seen Tiedemann 7 or 8 times now. And like when I saw him, I saw Henry LaLagna earlier in the day, and I went to Dunedin and I saw him in a rehab start. Dude, he just like ate up that entire lineup for 4 innings, and he sat 6 to 9. That was the first time I had seen Ricky touch 9. And, you know, the fastball control isn't great.
No.
I think the command is fine. Like, he gets it around the zone and guys bite on it. And I think that slider is just like, that's a death pitch, dude. Like, nobody hits that. And on top of it, like, because of his angle and where he sets up on the mound, it's so hard for right-handed hitters to hit it on the outer half of the plate because it just looks like it's going to be a baller. So, like, when he's on, he just wears out the outer half of the plate, and then he'll drop in a changeup on it, too.
And I agree. And I agree with all these things. I don't, like, just from watching it, his fastball was not effective to the level I would have thought. You also could say, based on his minor league experience, you do have quite a bit more advanced hitters to a degree that he's facing out here. Or he did face out here in the AFL. But the one of the things I noted, and I'm taking us too long here, what I had noted about, people were asking me Tiedemann versus Jackson Jobe, and I was like, what I love about Jackson Jobe is it all seems more power, but he was more predictable. What Tiedemann I loved about is I felt like Tiedemann was comfortable throwing his secondary stuff. First pitch, second, he could pitch from behind at any point, and that kept people off, and that made the fastball maybe a bit more effective. This is even what I was going to ask you about with Tiedemann. What if none, because Brozdowski, he didn't pour cold water on it. He liked the take, but expressed how MLB teams maybe feel, but I don't know if you ever saw it. I had posted about Tiedemann having, I called it pitch tipping. It's probably just a version of something else, but there was a clear visual difference between when he threw a fastball and when what I presumed was throwing his changeup or a secondary. That was the big thing by a wide margin. And Brozdowski confirmed that I think it was seven inch difference, that would have been the highest differential of a release point of any single pitcher in the major leagues. If he were in the major leagues, Bryce Miller was the next closest. And I thought that is a bit of a concern. No, none of the AFL guys took advantage of it, by the way. Tiedemann still ripped everybody up, but he had great off-speed secondaries that I just wonder if the command, if teams want him to maybe lower the velocity so he can command the fastball better, but there is some still clear differences. Does that mean anything? Maybe it's overblown. It's not a debate. It is. I visually saw it. Lance confirmed it. But does it actually mean anything? Because you guys got him at number 2 SP.
Yeah. And I'll say no. And I wrote an article about this in response to you guys having that conversation.
You
and
did.
I talked to Lance about it as well. And I actually pulled up minor league data and compared his release height differences to that of Yuri Perez. Higher. And this was a slider 4-seamer. Because that was a conversation that I had heard. The changeup is true. The changeup. There was an issue with release. That's something that they're working on. It's similar to what.
Yeah, that's what I had confirmed, because that's what I was telling everybody
slider,
was I could tell you when he threw the changeup.
The slider difference is actually like he's 2.75 on side, 3 on the slider. 2.7 was the fastball. He's 5.65 release height on the fastball, 5.4. Those are smaller differences than Bryce Miller. Those are smaller differences than Yuri Perez between his 4-seam and his slider.
But what is the 4-seam and the changeup?
The changeup, like I said, I agree with you on the changeup.
Oh, okay.
What I had heard initially was on the slider. The changeup difference in 2023 was he was 5.65, 2. It's all in the article. 2.75 side on the 4-seam, 5.2 and 3 on the changeup. So it's more of a height difference. It's not a side difference as much. But he was similarly like, so it was 5.6 to 5.2 on release height this year. It was 5.8 to 5.3 when that changeup was getting 70 grades in 2022. So, like, I think the thing is with Tiedemann, and I had this conversation with player development people within the Blue Jays after I had chatted with Lance about it. And guys can't hit the slider. Yeah. Like, regardless of whether you know it's coming or not, you really can't hit it. And it's a matter of how well do you see the ball in the box out of his hand versus when you're 8, 7, 6, 8 rows up, you know, and how you identify that. Because if you're a left-hander, that ball is coming from behind your ear, right? And then if you're a right-hander, you might see it come out. But if you've seen Tiedemann, like if you're at an angle, you're not really seeing when the ball comes back here and then comes out because of how his arm action is and he hides the ball really well. But I'm not so sure when you're talking about a lefty that throws that hard with that kind of movement that it's going to be that big of an issue. Because I just don't think guys are going to be able to pick it up.
That's good. I mean, those are all good confirmations.
I chatted with Brendan Donovan about this offseason. It's like, how much do you pick up tips on like arm slot and things like that? And he was saying it's more hand position of the glove prior to dealing, like how somebody maybe like tips off and like moves. There's some of that stuff, like a hesitation, like it's things like that they pick up on easier because it's easier to see and then process that pitch before it's coming at you. Because you only have like you have just split seconds to identify that stuff.
I mean, that's good. Those are all good confirmations. That's what this is all about, because Tiedemann has wavered between a lot of different ranks. You guys have him at 2. That's a good confirmation from smart people. I'd brought up questions that I thought were valid, and it's good if you have answers to some of those things that can be fixed. I'll just have to watch more on the fastball because, you know, maybe what I was seeing was misleading on some of the velos and, you know, the command would dip on high velos. But also, you know what? There's some injury stuff and I never thought it would be uncharacteristic for him to maybe protecting
that's the biggest ball. Thing. It's, you know, how does the bicep quotation marks feel this off season?
Exactly.
Did he get enough rest? Because if he's going 5 innings and he's navigating through lineups, you know, the stuff is there. I mean, I've seen him chew up guys that are in the major leagues. Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, that sticks out.
I made some dudes look silly.
I came into the season more skeptical of Tiedemann's health because he hadn't gone 5 innings and exceeded 70 pitches since prior to the 4th of July in 2022. And there were some people out there that were really hyping him up. And it was like, I was pumping the brakes on that. I saw him the start before he got hurt, but I think it's actually the start when he got hurt. I think I saw when he got hurt because he went from 5 and 6 for 2 innings and just
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Eating people's faces to all of a sudden it was 92, 93, and then he was like reaching for 97, which he usually didn't have to do. Yeah. And then he got hurt in the following start. And then was out with that bicep issue for several months. And then I saw him when he came back, and then saw him when he came back in New Hampshire, and then I saw him in Buffalo too. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is it's like he's big and he's athletic and he's strong. He's got a prototypical pitcher's build. It's just I don't know if it holds up. I mean, that's the biggest concern with him. But once again, it's a pitcher, and you can say that about him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
We were just kind of going through different thoughts, and then I realized, like, oh my god, we're halfway done and we're at an hour. So I on the fly turned it into 2 episodes, but really want to thank Jeff as always for spending the time. Part 2 coming out later this week, so make sure you're locked in. I think I was shooting for, because I'm going to post this on Monday, so I think we're going to shoot for like maybe Monday, Friday, or Monday, Thursday, something like that. I know I messed with the schedule a whole lot, which really isn't great for podcasting, but it is what it is right now.
But I will try to put them out relatively, maybe closer than Monday, Friday, but we'll put these two bad boys out. Maybe I'm actually going to release this on Tuesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday. But two episodes for you, consume lots of pitching prospect talk, where next week we will be doing hitting. Come on over to InThisLeague.com if you want to check out the Patreon. The GroupMe rooms are great. It's smart people. God, the prospect talk. I legit think the most consistent conversation might be happening from the Prospect One room. It's crazy. Those guys are always rocking. I love them. So you can join up. You can be an LT in the ITL Army. You can get access to that room. You can be a captain and have access to everything. We do some card breaks. I just moved, so I'm chaos. So I did one like a month and a half ago or something like that. So we'll get one going back. But try to have as much fun in fantasy as possible. And you know there's always prospect stuff. You guys can also find me over on Fantasy Pros. Got some premium content coming out. Tons of podcasts. And shout out to maybe any of you guys that have done it. One of the top watched and viewed episodes, because we have the YouTube channel, we have the podcast, and then we have the YouTube. And I think both from a listening standpoint and a viewed standpoint, those are individual things. The Prospects to Own episode might be one of the absolute biggest, which has been crazy. So make sure you guys are checking that out, doing some other prospect stuff over there. They've got some aggregated prospect lists as well. So go and check out and support my stuff over on the Fantasy Pros. That is it. I will talk to you guys on part two with Jeff Ponce later on the weekend. Maybe, depending when I record it, I'll have a few more nuggets for you in the next episode from camp. I'm Chris Welsh. Thank you guys for hanging out. I'll talk to you next time right here on Prospect One.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.